welcome to Grid Talk, your weekly RC racing podcast with your host, myself, Russell Lee, and as always, the fantastic Chris Bowden. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm not doing too bad, mate, but as tonight is a show all about the Nationals starting this weekend, and our beloved show sponsors also sponsor the Nationals, why don't you tell our listeners about those?
I will. So let me say a massive thank you to CMO Distribution, RC House, Schumacher Racing and Will Speed, the companies that keep us on air every week and throw us a couple of prizes at Christmas. So as always, Chris, straight in with it. Papa Bear, Martin Owen, how are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah, really good. Really good.
Ah, not doing too bad.
Good, good, good. I've seen you both been racing quite a bit, MK and Ledbury for you, and then Brookthorpe, and Bowden's been attending races. I don't know if he's been racing. He's been attending.
Wow. Sorry, no. You know, there was me planning to be nice to you tonight, and you've just gone and spoilt that.
You know what, Mart? I still don't think he's quite recorded from MK, to be fair.
No, you know. Exactly. So anyway. Did you beat him? Did you beat him,
yeah,
MK?
I did, yeah. I was a final ahead of him. Normal service was resumed. Yeah, but nothing.
What he never mentions, Russ, is... What Russ never mentioned, sorry, is, you know that time I beat him at Slough? That was for the A final. And then, you know, at MKGP, mate, where were you in four-wheel drive?
I was at Ledbury smashing fourth in the A.
You see what I mean? So you literally, you had a decent day and then you pussied out and ran off. Yeah. And went to a meeting somewhere else. You know, like a true coward.
The thing is that
anyway, it's racing on carpet, it doesn't matter.
Let me just say this. No one gives a flip about four-wheel drive, mate.
That's true.
Mate,
no one cares.
I think you'll find that a Champions Edition says they do.
That's true.
Brilliant. Anyway, I'm bored of this. Martin, yeah. How's your build-up to the Nationals been? Obviously, you've got your own race prep, and you've also got the organisational side of it as well. How's that been for you over winter and since the end of last year?
It's been amazing. We have a great team, as you know, with John and Paul and Chris and Tony and all the guys that come on, Keith. You know, we have an amazing team. And being the third year now of doing it, things just get easier the more you do them. And things just kind of start into place. You start to... stop forgetting things, you know, simple things like last year, you know, 2 weeks before the Nationals, oh, we haven't got any numbers, you know, and this year it's, we've got that sorted. They're just those simple things. So, yeah, it's been a really easy run-up to it this year. The AGM back in, November was very well attended by lots of different people, which was great because we got lots of different ideas on venues and lots of different votes. We actually sent some invites out to sort of the top drivers in the series to come and have a vote and give their input, because I believe where a lot of organizations, whether it's IFMA or EFRA or the BRCA, we go wrong is we don't talk to our racers and we don't say, what do you want? Where do you want to go? And that's something that I took a little bit. I think it was one of the Come Driverless videos from the China Worlds, and Ryan Mayfield was having a bit of not a whinge, but was saying, look, you know, this track's not ideal and I wish they would just talk to us. And it's always stuck in my head that you've got to listen to the racer, because at the end of the day, that's why we're there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't it'd be pointless as having a committee if there was nobody racing, was it?
Exactly.
We'd be an empty section.
And as I've openly said in thing, and I know you guys have talked on it, you know, we're going to miss Mick Cragg's input. You know, he was a guy that I could go to and go, what do you think about this? And he would go, yeah, that's absolute crap. Don't do it. And you're not going to argue with him because he's been there and he's done it. And I was talking to Neil at the Bradbury Cup, and I said to Neil, I said, you've now assumed that role, so I'll be coming with you to lots of questions. And he was really sort of acceptive of it. And it was good that, you know, these racers want to be involved and want to help shape it. And you got to take these top guys, you know, they've been around the world. They know what they're doing. So you've got to take that input. Yeah. And I believe that the higher organizations of EFRA and IFMAR, they need to learn from that. you know, that we're going to go do a Euros on carpet this year. And as much as I don't really mind it, but, you know, there's a lot of people that are really disappointed and don't want to go to it, which is a shame because Euros should be outdoors on their Astro in the middle of summer having a good time. But, you know, let's hope that eventually they start to listen to the racer a bit more.
Well, yeah, it's little things, isn't it? So,
yeah, for sure.
I know, like, you know, we've had discussions in the background about things that we've heard racers saying that we've put right for this year. There's things that we're putting in that racers won't know about yet and probably won't until the end of the year. But hopefully people look back and they go, you know what, that was cool. Maybe that was a good change. This was this. Like, I know me and you were both eager on the high vises, aren't we? Because
yeah.
For walking around. What was it you called it? A building site.
Yeah, I have a real problem with our race meetings. And I don't know if you see it at 8 for us, but it looks like a building site these days.
Yeah.
High vis everywhere. And the thing is, what?
Because people, I know you know this, but I'm going to say it for the listeners. Yeah. It's because we can't, back in during COVID days, there wasn't a vest on the Marshall Point. So everyone I quite regularly forget to take mine off. And I, like you say, I'll walk around with it all day. Yeah.
So we want to get it back to how it was and try and start getting, you know, you can use your own. There's some people with hygiene and that they like their own marshalling vests. That's fine. The problem I have, and it's actually going to be brought up in driver's briefing this week at Robin Hood, is they attract bugs when you're up on the rostrum. And it was a little bit of the Bradbury Cup the weekend, and there weren't that many bugs around, but those high vises seem to attract bugs.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but they just do. So we want to try and discourage them on the roster. And the other thing is, as me and Chris have said, is all these companies, CML, Associated, Schumacher, whoever, Rude Bits, whatever, they spend a lot of money to get T-shirts made and things printed, and then people walk around covering up the stuff with a high vis all day.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that we have is, I'm going to ask it, please, if you're watching the racing, take your high vis off. Two reasons. A, it looks crap.
Yeah.
Sorry, it does. If you're on the rostrum, take it off. It looks crap. And also, John, who does a fantastic job refereeing all day, he makes sure that all the marshals are in place by counting the high vises. They're not really high vis if 75 people around the track have also got them on. You don't really stand out. It's actually camouflage. So please don't wear your high vis around the track. We'd love to see three deep watching every race. Just not one of you with a high vis, please.
So Chris has an anti-high vis. As for what they're used for with marshalling, they're great. You know, when you're on the track and you got high vises, because I can't remember where we went. I went and raced somewhere last year before where there was no high vises, and it's kind of weird because it does the opposite. You're thinking, is that a marshal stood there, or is that just someone stood by the side of the track? So it has the opposite effect.
Yeah. And of course, now at the AGM, it's been took out that clubs shouldn't provide them anymore, because obviously through COVID it was in. It got taken out last year, so...
Yeah.
You know, there is that option available now for clubs to start doing that.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. We'll educate slowly. But, you know, it's a good habit that we got people into during COVID. And it's just something maybe we just got to slowly get back out of. It'll just take time.
Yeah. Right.
So are you going to supply Marshall vests at the National then?
We haven't had a chance to get them done, but it's something I may, through the next couple of weeks, at least try and maybe get done for the next one. Yeah. You know, so yeah. But the other thing it does worry me, though, is if people are going to wear their own, you're going to have a high vis at the Marshall Point flapping around during the race. So again, it's another thing we got to kind of get round. So we'll see. We'll see. If we could just educate people to maybe just take them off until they race, that'll be a start.
Yeah.
Sorry, until they marshal.
Yeah, I'm sure every time Southport used to, you know, that famous West Midlands track, they used to have every time you they put the booking in. They used to have a, they said no high vis on the rostrum.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they did. Well, I know at Masters we were like telling people don't wear high vis up there, and it looks so much better to see all the sponsored logos and all the things.
Yeah.
You know. So
it makes it look a bit more like a professional sport, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. It's going to be a bit of work, but we'll get there. Hopefully.
Won't be that bad. Won't be that bad. Are you racing this year, Mort?
I am, yeah. But I don't know why. I don't call it racing. It's like attending.
Yeah, so, you know, you can hold your own, can't you, still, against these kids?
I'm hanging by a very fine thread. It goes okay. I have good days like anyone, good days and bad days with it. But I'm not quite ready to hang the transmitter up yet.
Yeah,
eventually. I've always said to myself, as soon as I couldn't make an A final or a regional, it's time to hang it up. And so far that hasn't come close. But I'm sure it will eventually. And then we'll think about it. Then, you know, it's funny, I was talking to someone about this last week, but you look at like Ellis Stafford. He's mega quick and he's old. And he wouldn't mind me saying that. And, you know, Tony Avoca, he's still can hold his own, and he's like nearly 110 years old. So
yeah, he's fast, man. He's fast.
Yeah, exactly. So you do sit there and go, yeah, you know, I'm eventually going to get caught up. How many more years of doing nationals, we'll see. But I just enjoy it. You know, it's one of those strange things. I know as I'm an F2N, so I think last year in two-wheel drive, I finished 53rd, and I think in four-wheel drive it was, what did I finish? I'm just looking, I can't even remember. 45th. So you're in the top 50 in four-wheel drive and just having two-wheel. That's probably going to be really hard to do again this year, because as Chris said earlier, our nationals are packed with F1s, F2Ns, some F3s, and I think in two-wheel drive we might, and I haven't seen it because I let John and Paul do all the entries, we might have one F4, and I don't think there's any F5s. It's absolutely stacked, so it's going to be really hard to get a good result this year.
Yeah, well, the mad thing about that is, as well, everyone's going to be decent. I'm not saying in past years people haven't been decent, but you've got to be decent even in a lower numbered region to get F3. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's going to be like everyone's going to know what they're doing. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be professional. You know, no doubt John will still have some work to do on the ref stand, but I still think it's going to be a lot easier for you guys, having, you know, all these people have earned the places now, you know, to get a true national series, and everyone's qualified correctly and blah blah blah. It's going to be it's going to be some good racing.
For sure, 100%, absolutely, will be brilliant racing. I've seen the entry. I mean, it's mostly everybody that in the top sort of 30-40 that did it last year entered this year. There's one or two people missing, but it will be, like you said, close. And as you said, I think Ryan Clark said in one of your guys' episodes, everyone's going to nationals with almost a new two-wheel drive.
Yes.
And it showed the Bradbury Cup the two weekends ago. You know, the results were a little bit mixed around because people were luring their new cars. So and it seems that different cars work better in different conditions. So yeah, it's going to be good. I can't wait.
I think in the past couple of years, it's been very much a case of, you know, you have a bump and you lose a couple of seconds, you lose a second or you lose 2 seconds, you might lose 10 places in a national.
Yeah.
But like this year, it's seriously looking like you drift wide on a corner and lose 3/10. That's 10 places.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's seriously looking like tenths are going to make the difference to qualifying, yeah, rather than, you know, you being able to get it around within a second.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. But the uptake of nationals has been amazing again. We refined our entry procedure. That seems to have worked a little bit better in the background. That poor Jim Spencer is not going to have like 300,000 refunds to do. So we're only kind of taking payment as people get a place. We've had a few people kind of asking, where am I at on the reserve list? And as I've said to people, is if you just message John, he'll tell you. The problem is we can't put something online because it's changing every day, because you get, as per usual, a few people dropping out on the lead up to it. And at the moment, it has changed every day. I think John's had to redo the heat listing like 4 times just in the last week, because it changes so quick. So, but it's a, you know, that's a good problem to have in a way.
Yeah. No, it is, like you say, I think stacked isn't the word for it. It is literally the cream of the cream in the UK. But yeah. I think that's what it should be. That will mean that when these guys go over to like Euros and Worlds and other things, EOS series and stuff, you're not just battle hardened about against some like Tom, Dick and Harry.
Yeah, yeah.
You are battle hardened against the best of the best. Like, that's it. You don't want to see. I don't want to go to a national and watch just every national, like, you know, Tommy and Ben racing each other. I want to be, there's 10 people that could TQ here. Who's it going to be this week?
Yeah, 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 for sure. For sure. You know,
I mean, obviously, we all have our friends that we'd like to be up there, but yeah, I just want to see really, really, really good racing at the National this year.
Yeah, I think we will. I think we will see good racing. I mean, you saw some good racing at MKGP, so I know you had some of the international guys there. And we saw pretty good racing 2 weeks ago at Robin Hood. So,
yeah, it was. You know, it was really good.
It'll be good. And like I said, everyone having new cars makes it a little bit more interesting. Maybe we should convince the manufacturers to bring out a new car before Nationals every year. Get expensive, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you've got to buy two and then learn it 2 months before. Maybe not. yeah, that's not one of your good ideas, Mark. You've had a lot of good ones, but not putting that in that category.
Most of my ideas.
I mean, speaking of good ideas, we've had a few rule changes this year, like just tidying up a lot of rules, really, was the main thing. There's obviously some rules that we carry over from the AGM, from the exec, and there's some that we've kind of, you know, reworded or looked at. One of them this year is the gluing of sidewalls on tyres.
Yep.
So it's been clarified now that, don't know why you'd want to do it, but if you want to take your tyre and dip it in a bucket of glue, absolutely fine.
Yep, go for it.
You know, it's not, there's no, you can put glue anywhere on your tyre now, can't you?
You can, and you can glue your tyre down, as you know we've been doing all winter with cut staggers and various other tyres. So that is allowed. The only thing you're not allowed to do is cut the bead off and glue it down. And we will be checking for it. There is a way to check for it that's quite easy. So we will be checking. And yeah, the tire thing, you can glue the front tires, you can glue the back sidewalls on the back tires if you really want to. Glue yourself away.
You really want that rotation.
Yeah.
If you really, really want to spend a fortune on glue.
I mean, I know, I think for the Euros, you're not allowed to glue your sidewalls, and then at every single team managers meeting, they've just voted in that you can. And I know, to be fair to Mr. Worsley, he made a tool to measure how much glue you could put up the side of the tyre. Really clever. Typical Paul, you know. I mean, it was worked perfect. But it's just another, you know, as Paul did kind of say, if they were doing out on every tyre scrutineering, you'd have to be there 4 rounds before your race. Because it would take so long.
And you've got to actually check every part of the sidewall of the tyre as well, isn't it? On 4 tyres on every car that's going out.
Exactly, exactly.
It's not feasible, really, for what we want. So,
and as for some of the other rules that we looked at, as you said, Chris, we did some tidying. It was just to try and get that there were a few rules that were a little bit open for interpretation, and we just wanted to make them. I like a rule that's black and white. You know, if you say yes, you can do that, when it needs to be clear especially from like my point of view and you as a driver's rep, and you know, even from a racer's view, you want to know what the rule is. You shouldn't be able to interpret it in your own way. So we've tried to tidy them up. We haven't done it on everything, and there's still some more work to do, but it's, you know, it's just a little bit of work just to tidy it up.
Yeah, we're getting there.
We
bit
are.
By bit.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
We'll get to the point where everything is clarified and everything is black and white, but in typical racing fashion, a racer will always think of something to create another grey area.
Oh, 100%. I mean, there's racers that have made their, not wins, but, you know, there's some people that have won a lot of world championships, and they've not cheated. They've just found the edge of every single rule and manipulated it to how they can. And that's what F1 teams do, and, so, you know, that's fine. But when you step over it, we're going to catch you. That's the difference.
Yeah, well, that's it. As long as it's... I always think of it as cheating's wrong, but winning by finding an advantage isn't.
No, of course it's not. No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. But we, you know, we've not had a problem since I've been doing the role, and I haven't seen many issues at all. I don't know if we started racing on dirt and additive, that would get a little bit messy, but I'm sure there'd be ways of controlling that. What, Russ, with the, are you doing eighth nationals this year?
We're not, mate. No, we're building up to do them next year.
Okay.
Next year.
With the eighth, can you use additive, or is it
no. Yeah, I think people do. I haven't seen a lot of people glue sidewalls even on dirt tires.
Right. Okay.
To take a bit of steering, but yeah, next year for us.
I don't know. Did you watch any of the PMB coverage the weekend?
I did. Yeah, I watched both A finals.
Yeah. Yeah, what an A final of the buggies.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. But I was listening to them. They think like half the field were using additive and the other half weren't. And they were all kind of as fast as each other.
Yeah.
So very strange.
The thing is, though, it's weird. The problem you've got is when you watch on the TV, Mayfield is one of the best in the world. So is Fendt. And if one of them was running additive and one wasn't, you're still going to see the same lap times. Or, you know, there are the
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Like they both had the traction they were using on that concrete. It wasn't traction, it was just skill. You know what I mean? It was literal skill that was keeping them on the track, you know, because they were so light on the gas head through that concrete section, you know. Yeah.
Mayfield had an amazing line through it, though.
Yeah.
He pulled him in every time through that little bit of concrete. Yeah.
He's unreal, mate. Absolutely.
Yes.
He's brilliant to watch.
And what do you think of that drone footage? That was cool.
Yeah, class, mate. Class. He was really close as well, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
He was
only like 13 or 14. He was only a young lad.
I didn't know that.
Flying it. Yeah. They interviewed him. It was a son of a racer or an organizer or something. But the drone, I don't know if you saw it, it was tiny.
Yeah, like a little 180. Yeah, really nice looking.
It was. Yeah. And if you watched him, he was clever enough that when he went in front of the rostrum, he dropped it down. So the drivers either dropped it down or took it up, but he wasn't in the eyesight of the drivers.
That mobile disco they had at the start of the race. Every year they have that. I don't get it.
No, I don't like because when they went round on the opening lap, they like shot fire out of it, and it looked like it would just put you off because it got so bright in that one corner. But That's a good old Americans. They like a bit of razz and mashads and all that stuff. So, that's cool.
Did you see any of it, Chris? Absolutely class, mate.
I didn't, mate. Unfortunately, I was a little bit busy that weekend. As you know, I was getting some other stuff sorted and I was away. But no, I mean, the eighth stuff, I think, and Martin, you'll be able to say, because obviously you lived in America. They do have a bit more of a show with it all, don't they, in the eighth American stuff.
They do.
It's more of a presentation. It's like, you know, and before we talk about that one, let's talk about Elliott Boot dominating DNC, which is like basically the warm up for the season for eights. So, you know, well done on that one. But, you know, all these tracks, the way they're presented, and they're not, some of them aren't even permanent tracks.
No, I know.
You know, there's a real showmanship which they do, and I do like that. It's almost like I'm just waiting for next year to do like an opening ceremony.
Yeah, yeah. Then they have 550 million entries to pay for it all in 20 billion classes.
Yeah, yeah. It lasts 5 days, and everybody gets a trophy. And...
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely different. Anyway, sorry, got on the sidetrack of eights there, but.
It's cool. We are all lovers of all classes, apart from Tamiya.
Even Tamiya.
I love Tamiya.
TRF, yes. Brachylotium now.
Do you know what? I'm really upset because it's iconic at Mendip this weekend for touring cars. And I got 5 or 6 classic Tamiya F1 cars that I want to run. And every year that iconic's dropped on the first national.
Well, it's all my, well, it's a shame you don't know the bloke that organises them, isn't it, that you could.
What's going on with Mendip, mate, at the moment? I know there was some worry last year. Is there any more news?
I mean, I'm not involved with the club anymore as on a committee, but obviously I still my association with it, and I do care about the place. From what we can see, I mean, he's slowly just filling in with holiday homes. I think if I was a betting man, and no one has said this to me, I'm just things I've heard, is I think maybe the on-road would go first. The off-road might stay a couple more years, and then I think it would be gone.
Yeah.
It's a ticking, unfortunately, it's a ticking clock on the place, which is a shame because we're going to have, and I know Joey would love this, but we're going to have no on-road tracks in the southwest soon, with Cotswolds going, and then Mendip goes. That's it. There's nothing.
Are they still allowed to have like the nitro engines on the track?
No, nothing. I haven't had nitro there for I think 2 years now.
Yeah, it's gone then, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, unfortunately. You know, it's sad. The worst thing is, and again, it's maybe hearsay or what you believe, but I think about 20 years ago, way before any of the people there involved in it now were involved, they had an option to buy the land and they turned it down.
Yeah.
And they had the money to do it, which is a real shame because that would have secured it for life.
No, that's a shame. I mean, I'm not a fan of on-road, but we used to go down to Breen, just down the road, when we were younger, in the caravan and that.
Yeah.
And we always used to take your car stuff, and I'd be able to go over there and have a go when I was younger. And it was like, I remember watching, I think I was running on-road at the time, and you'd be driving your car around it, and then, you know, you'd be doing it, and there'd be one of the big, are they fifth scale, the ones with the proper petrol engines with the two-stroke engine. And, like, it was just awesome watching them go around. I'm not a fan of on-road in the slightest, but they were cool.
Yeah, no, they were. I mean, I guess, I'm assuming it's true, but it is the oldest track in the country, apparently. So it'll be a shame. But, you know, there we go. And for us guys racing off-road, it's only going to leave us with Tiverton. So, but I know that the guys at Mendip are actively looking for somewhere else. So let's hope they find something.
Yeah. I mean, the issue you're going to have down there is the area is a tourist place, isn't it?
100%.
So 100%. If it's a choice between caravans that you can rent out at a couple of £100 a week, you know, people are, the landowners are going to go for those, aren't they, really?
Of course they are. Of course they are.
You know?
Yeah, 100%.
Unfortunately, so. greed means more than a hobby.
Yeah, it does. You know, and like you said, land is at a premium around Western Supermare, so it was eventually going to happen. So we'll see, though. You never know. You never know.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. You know, we're still waiting for Kiddie to find somewhere up here, but...
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real shame. I heard the track is actually, the kiddie track is still there. Hasn't been touched.
it's still there. Hasn't been touched. You could literally just weed killer it and run a meeting on it.
Soul destroy.
Yeah. But that's plan. That's legality and planning permission for you.
It is. But obviously going on to nationals, we're going to go to some new tracks this year that we've not maybe had a national at. So we're going to go to Hearts, which they had an end of season final, I think, 2 years ago. And I know they're putting in a mega huge amount of work to put a new rostrum in and lots of other little things. So that's going to be a cool venue to go to. We're returning as a national to Bury, which they have had end of seasons or juniors and vets. You might know this, Chris. I can't remember the last time they had a national there. They have, but it was many moons ago.
In a while, yeah.
So, you know, and I did a junior in vets there, and the track was absolutely awesome. And they've done a lot of work, so.
I don't know if anybody's been following them on Facebook with some of their work they've been doing, but I think they've relayed near enough the whole track.
Yeah.
Like, they have really sort of, I think we talked about it with Colin when he was on. And there was obviously some controversy around Bury getting a national. People hung on to the past about things that had happened in history, which was wrong.
Yeah.
I think they're out to prove a point this year.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think it'll be an awesome event. I can't wait. Yeah.
I like that. I like the fact that a track wants to prove that they are the best. Because if every track wants to prove that they're the best, all we get is amazing tracks for nationals, regionals, clubbies, everything.
100%.
So I really like the attitude that Bury have took to it. Potteries are doing something similar with their new track.
Yep.
They're really working hard, and they're not just, I've been speaking to the guys running that, they're not just doing that'll do for now approach. It's getting built from the start to host nationals. That's their plan. So
that'd be good. That's good. And then we're going to Stotfold again, which we haven't been for 2 years. They've got a new rostrum with a nice roof and everything on it. So quite looking forward to that.
Yeah.
One of the older tracks returning, and then we're going to do Durham for the juniors and vets, and they are putting some graft in there as well, I've noticed. Yeah.
That's one of my. I went up and did the end of seasons up there last year.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoyed it up there. Really good track, very well ran, friendly.
Yeah.
You know, it was really good. Apart from they made me do the trophy presentation.
Oh, you loved it.
I did not. But yeah, amazing track, amazing facility that they've got. Obviously, they've took some of the criticisms on board from that, and then now sort of, I think the biggest one was how, like, the on-site catering, which is kind of a requirement for these events.
Yeah,
you know, so they've took that on board. They've got their own on-site caterers coming to the event now, rather than having to order your food, then have it collected. You can go up to the van when you want to eat.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think all of these tracks are just learning and getting better, and
yeah, of course they are.
Awesome. Yeah, and obviously returning to Stotfold.
Yep.
Where even in the wet, it's high grip.
It is, yeah. See, now I'm most excited it's not a national, but I'm quite looking forward to going back to Telford for the F2, 3, 4 finals and 5 finals.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to going back there. You know,
I'm quite looking forward to going back there as well for an end of season's final, to be honest, mate.
I'm sure you are. You'll have put in about 280,000 laps by the time we get there.
217,000.
But yeah, no, it'll be good. It's different, and you know, with things like Potteries and other clubs popping up, that's a great thing, because we're not exactly gaining tracks at a huge rate at the moment. We don't seem to be losing them at a huge rate right now. It's steadied itself a little bit, but you know, there's certainly scope out there, as you know, with like the BRCA loan scheme. If you're thinking of building an outdoor track, you know, there's ways to get money and ways to do things.
It's a great way to look at getting a track going.
It is, and we need tracks all around, you know, around the country. I often hear the quim of, you know, oh, it's the Southern Nationals because there's Belton, Torch, Hearts and Stopfold, and they're all almost all in one area. But that's not a planned thing. That's just how it falls. You know, there's 25 people in a room that vote where they want to go in a hidden ballot, and that's just how it works out. You know, and I get the usual, we're not going to Scotland, but no track from Scotland put in to host one. So you can't just make it up that we're going to go there.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, there was obviously other tracks that put in requests.
Yeah.
And I think maybe people don't quite know quite how much that these we have to look into with these tracks as to what they what they can provide, what they can't. Like, you know, you're looking at infrastructure of we're going to this track in this month of the year when it's raining all the time. We can only go there in this month because that's the only time they can have the venue. But it's going to be flooded. So how do we have 100, 200 cars and vans and everything coming in and out without needing a tractor to tow them out?
Yeah.
You know, it's things like that. And obviously, you know, some of these people, some of the people that maybe do criticise don't understand what these tracks are actually asked to put on and what they're supposed to have and not have. And sometimes people put in for it and they haven't got a covered rostrum and it's going to cost too much to put a cover on it, so they decide not to.
Yeah.
But that's exactly where your BRCA loan scheme comes in.
Yeah. You know, and there's other clubs I've heard in the past that have thought about putting international and then found out that, you know, it doesn't generate a huge amount of revenue for the club. But in my opinion, that's not why you host a national. Mendip, I know for a fact, we made a loss. That event cost the club to put on. But it was more about being able to say we've had one there. You know, yeah. And I think that is another thing that if you're a club and you think, well, we'd love to host a national and it's going to make us a load of money, that it doesn't. It's the prestige of saying you're a national standard track or you've had a national there.
Yeah.
So
I've really enjoyed, I've been open about it, and even to you and in the meeting I've joked with you, I was disappointed that we couldn't go back to Mendip. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I hated it, but that's for many other reasons. But I mean, I didn't want to go there for a national, as quite well said to people it wasn't, but I don't get a say in it, and it got voted in. But it was cool to pull it off, get it done, and it was quite well received for the most
proper driver's track.
Yeah. I've pretty much said that when Mendip does eventually go, I'm going to cut a little square of Astra off and give it to Jamie Hall, because obviously he won his first national there.
Yes, of course he did.
Which was awesome. I'd like to see him win a couple more this year. It's
Well, the way he was looking at Robin Hood, mate, last weekend.
You know what? Yeah. I was like, I think there's like 20 people, and outside, I bet there's like 20 people who can make the A.
Yeah.
You know, we've been, me and Alex at work, we were looking today, or was it yesterday? I can't remember. They all phase into one. But yeah, we were saying how close it looks with, you know, the top people.
Was that Alex Hayward by any chance?
Yeah.
F1. Oh, he was an F1 once.
Yeah. He used to be an F1.
He's an F2. He's an F2 now.
He is. I went to Italy racing with him once.
Yeah. He never shut up about it.
I know. Good times.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're right. There is like 20 people that can make an
A. Not only that, there's loads of people coming of age now as well, like Lewis Hopkins.
Yeah.
Charlie Saunders. I know Phipps, he's like, we always laugh and joke, he's a junior and he's like, nearly 30 now. Yeah. But, you know, Phipps as well. A load of your lot as well. You know, there's loads of, you know. Yeah, so there's quite a lot of people now who have been B final, are ready for A finals now, you know.
Yeah, I've been trying to look to see who I think this year might creep into an A that hasn't made an A before, and I think there's three or four that could surprise us if they, you know, things go right on the day, that they might just creep into one.
Go on, then, who are they?
Oh, now you put some pressure on them. Now you put me on the spot. Well, let's have a look. It's quite an easy one to look at. So
I think on his day with a good run, I know we've spoken to him about it a bit, and we always give him some abuse, but could you put it past Ryan Clark?
I think he could do it. Maybe still a year away. But I don't know. He was looking pretty handy with his four-wheel drive on the Monday at the Easter meeting at Robin Hood. So
certainly was.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're going to see, because as he said on your podcast, he's not going to do any more rise speed. He's going to just go for it. Well,
yeah, falls
out. That can go one of two ways. Lots of bits of plastic or an A final, maybe.
Lots of luxury plastic across the track.
That's the one. Let's have a look now. Who could possibly... Hardy Eldridge was one that came into me. She's had some good touring car meetings. She's fast with her two-wheel drive. So that's one that is possibly...
I think Torch four-wheel drive maybe for that.
Yeah, maybe.
More like a touring... Closest probably off-road track in the Nationals we've got to a touring car.
Yeah, that could be it. Abe Lyon could at Hearts.
Yes.
I mean,
he does know literally every piece of blade of Astro on that track.
But
he overtakes people doing barrel rolls.
Exactly. Yeah, he's got.
Did you see that video, Martin?
That was awesome. Skills to pay the bills.
Absolutely.
So dare I say it? If Harry could stop chasing women or girls or whatever he's up to these days, he could possibly do something. I think he'll be close. He made a couple B's last year, so he'll be close.
Yeah. Just because he said that, though, Harry, don't get it wrong. We still don't like you.
No, exactly. And I can't really think. I'm just looking through here now. There's a few there that I think are a year and a bit off of it yet.
Yeah. But I mean, we'll obviously, you've had...
Aaron Nash, that's the other one.
Yeah, you've got... Yeah, Aaron's pretty close. He's B... Yes. I think he's had a B2 or a B3,
I think, before. He has, yeah.
So, you know, he's up there. I think you're probably going to see... And I don't know how many he's made, but I know Lewis Hopkins made one definitely last season. I don't know if he made any more than that.
Dan Powell as well. You made one, didn't he? Did he make one in four-wheel drive, I think?
Yeah.
So you might start to see the emergence of these making the back of the A a bit more. You know, purely selfishly, I'd like to see... Like Charlie, I'd like to see him making more headway up the A final.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that. And I tell you what, as much as he's a pain in the backside at times, you better watch out for little Harry Saunders this year.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to hold, I don't think he's going to take any prisoners.
Well, if you go by the usual brothers racing, the younger one is always the faster one.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens.
Don't tell Jamie that.
No.
You know, because he seems to be wanting to prove otherwise far this year, which I like.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, so we will see. Or it could just be the same 10 people.
Yeah.
I think it'll be the same five top. You know,
yeah,
as in like this, you know, the regular five will be at the top, you know. Neil, Tommy, Lee, etc. Ben Smith,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I think they'll be the main players.
We've brought Alowski,
is Alowski booked in this year?
He is. He's I think he's missing the first two on four, and he's definitely missing this one this weekend because it's 12 euros,
yeah.
And I'm not sure. I think he might be missing Stotfold. I'm not 100% on that, but he's doing the rest of them.
So here's the question, though.
Yeah.
We ask it every year.
Mm-hmm.
And every year we say, oh, we don't know. Is it finally the time? Can Neil and Lee hold off these young guns again?
Of course they can.
I think Neil will win two-wheel drive.
Yeah.
I also don't think it. And as chairman, you shouldn't have favourites. I'm sure someone's going to drag me across the coals for this, but I would love to see him win it this year. I absolutely love it.
I think it'd be awesome. I think it'd just be that sort of, you know, great thing to see.
It would. It would. But there's, you know, I'd also like to see Ben Smith win a few races. I'm not going to lie. You know,
Ben's one of them ones. We said him earlier, you know, you say you always want your teammates and your mates to win.
Yeah.
But then there's always that one person where it's like, well, you know, if an AE guy can't win, it needs to be Ben.
Yeah,
you know what? It was the same with the MK, wasn't it, this year?
Yeah.
The cheer that went up when he won that A final out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
he's just such a likable kid, and his dad's one of the proper most down to earth guys you meet in the pits, and he's got time for anybody. So, yeah, Smithy, I wouldn't mind seeing him win a couple. You know. If he doesn't mind doing it like after Tommy or Neil or Jamie have already wrapped the championship up, that'd be fine. You can win the rest. Yeah. I'm not fussed. Yeah, that's cool.
We almost killed Simon Smith when we were in America.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. What you don't want to do with Simon Smith is make him walk about 5 miles up the Las Vegas Strip when it's about 120 degrees Fahrenheit. I never saw poor guy. Honestly, I felt so bad. I remember saying to Eugene and Steve Pearson, we're going to have to do something. We're going to kill him. Yes. Bless his cotton socks. But he did it all the way there, all the way back. Hell of a walk. Bless him.
Yeah. I mean, I like my favourite Si Smith story also involves walking. And it was in Utrecht where you could go up to the little shop at the end of the road, the supermarket.
The Jumbo.
The Jumbo. That was it. So they went up there for a walk. There was a group, about five of them. And then four of them come back and they're missing Si. And then all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, he comes back. He turns around and goes, well, where were you, Si? Well, I was knackered, so I stopped and ate my sandwich on the wall.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, he is literally one of my favourite people.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. Yeah, so that's that. We'll have some winners. We'll have some losers. Let's hope we have no drama, which I'm sure we won't.
No drama. We're not doing it this year.
No. Yeah. So, yeah, to be fair, it's one of the first years I'm actually really looking forward to it. The last couple of years, it's been a bit like, oh, here we go. Because, you know, you don't know what's going to pop up, what surprises you're going to get. And the last 2 years have gone reasonably well. They can always go better. They're never going to be, in my eyes, they're never going to be 100% perfect, no matter what we do, who we have. They're just not. I don't think you can get them 100% perfect, but we can have a go at getting them close. But I've not walked away from any national yet really, really disappointed. Close, but not like I don't want to do this again. So, but I'm really looking forward to this year.
Yeah, I am. I'm just glad to be back outdoors.
Yeah, I think everyone is. Indoor carpet racing is bleh.
Do you think it'll be close between you and Joey?
Absolutely not. He's rubbish so far this year. If it's anything like the Bradbury Cup, no.
Have you got on with him racing with him through the winter? Have you had any good battles or?
He beat me at Worksop in the series. I think because he did all six, I only did the four, which is my fault. But he beat me. I think he beat me. Well, he did. He beat me in four-wheel drive in the series overall. He seems to drive really well in there. But then at the Masters, I annihilated him. So when it really matters, when it's result that matters, I seem to be able to get him. But we will see. He can have good days and he can have bad days. I don't know. He's taken up fishing apparently, which is. I just do not get. He actually goes with his uncle or something and goes off fishing now. So maybe he's going to retire from RC racing and become a professional fisherman. Who knows?
Bless him. He's still around and all that, but yeah.
He's no good at being a podcaster because every time I try to arrange to do one, he bails out on me. So I have to start doing them on my own.
Oh, I've got to ask you, that your podcast you did last week, insert title here, was that just an accident or did that actually happen?
No, so basically our podcasts, when we do them, we still, Aiden still edits them, even though he's not on them.
Yeah.
I send him the file and he edits it. But and usually he'll have a listen to it and then he'll put a name up, but he didn't have a chance to have a listen, so that's, he just went with that.
Just, you know what? He said last year when he decided he was going to take a sabbatical, and I was like, oh my God, you can do that. He said he'd be back for Nationals. Well, guess what? Here they are.
I know. That's what he
said.
I know.
That's what, if, Aiden, if you listen, that's what you said. You know.
Yeah, I'd love him to just come back and do one or two. It'd be great. I think maybe if I just lean on him a little bit, he might. Yeah. But
I mean, I think the funny thing is, since he retired, he's done more of our podcast than he has yours.
He has. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Well, you got lumped with him.
You did. Yeah, I mean, you guys are really committed and you do an awesome job and you do it every week. And we just tend to do it every now and then. But it's hard, as you guys know, it's hard to get different guests and different every week. We just struggled with it. And life kind of gets in the way. And to be fair, and take this as a compliment, you guys do such a good job. We don't really need to do one every week.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were adamant we were going to go fortnightly. Yeah.
Some weeks, mate, and we're then, just like, oh, we ain't doing one. But I know what you mean.
And then we always sort of find out that we are eventually. It's literally like that. We were adamant we were going to go to fortnightly.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the amount of stuff we have to do with, like, the BRCA, and obviously that takes quite a lot of time, ticket answering, all that. But it just never quite happened.
Russ, does he just drone on that he does loads of BRCA stuff? So don't put that.
Yeah, he does, mate. He does. You know, when we took this podcast, when he first came on this podcast a million years ago, after I got rid of the other guy, or he left or whatever, I said, look, man, all it takes is one night a week. That's all you've got to commit to. And he's like, yeah. And all of a sudden, now the BRCA is priority. And I'm just some flipping nobody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you've always been a nobody.
Well, I know that, but what I'm saying, like, you know what I mean? You know, you made a commitment all those years ago, and now it's just, and now all of a sudden it don't matter anymore. You know.
Yeah.
I'm just some nobody. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what, you know. Yeah, you know. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, so,
no,
you know,
so
you know,
we're
I'm right
really,
no more.
We're adamant.
I know you're right.
That it was gonna happen, that it was gonna be 2 weeks. And then we did one and we were like, right, yeah, we'll sort another guest out for another fortnight's time. And the next week, literally on the Wednesday morning, Russ messaged me. So, have we got tonight then? I'm like, no, buddy, we're doing it every 2 weeks. And he was like, all right. Well, we could get so and so. Yeah, all right then. And it just never materialized that we were going to do it every 2 weeks. We just carried on.
Exactly.
But no, it's been, it is enjoyable at times. I mean, it means I have to spend my night talking to Russ, but you know.
You know,
there's worse.
And don't forget, listeners, if you want to come on and you're not a complete nut job, drop Chris a message and he'll book you. You know, but absolutely no nut jobs, please.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. Even if
I
you think
got the
you might be,
for it
be
anymore.
A nut job.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No. You've got to have the patience for the, you know, I have to have patience for these people, so should you.
Yeah.
To be fair, when you and Chris will know this, when you see what goes on, not just in RC, like motorsport stuff and other areas of motorsport positions, we're very lucky. We seem to have a very, very, very good group of people. I mean, I can actually honestly say, if you said to me, you know, is there anyone you don't like racing with or don't like dealing with? And the absolute honest truth, I just say Chris. I mean, Jerry.
Well,
but,
yeah,
Chris, you know,
we'd stop him if he was wrong.
Yeah, and everyone is really always friendly and helpful. And, you know, like I said earlier, you will never please everybody, so don't try.
Yeah, it's impossible, mate.
You know?
You can't do it.
I mean,
you can't do it.
The thing I always have to correct people on this, two things, is I'll say, oh, you're doing a great job, or, you know, this is really good, you're doing great. And it's not me. We have a team. It's all of us. We get together and we do things as a team. You just have to have a chairman, because that's the rules as such. But we do it as a team. And the other thing you get a bit bored of is, oh, you've implemented this rule, or you've made it this tire or whatever, and you have to explain to people. It's not me. I don't get a vote. I don't. All I'm there is to make sure it's done right, and the rules are adhered to. You know, and that gets a little bit frustrating. But that people have seemed to have learned that through the years, and I think we did a really bad job educating people early on of how everything works within the committee and the BRCA. And I think that's something we just need to be. We have to be very transparent. And I try my hardest to be as transparent as can be, you know, and you still get the odd little quip and little comment, but it's part of the role. And like I said, you won't please everybody. And, you know, we try to do our best. You'll never get it 100% right, but we'll get it close.
Yeah. I mean, even down to things with any association, not just with the BRCA, and I'm only just learning this sort of midway through, hopefully the first of a few years doing the safeguarding role, there are some things that you have to just take action on.
Yeah.
But not one member of the BRCA committee, exec, anything can just take action on their own. You can't just ban somebody, for example.
Nope.
You have to. First thing you have to do is bring it to your section committee.
Yeah.
That gets voted on, and then you put that forward to the thing. The only time that things can get done quicker is if it is a safeguarding issue, and even then it has to have two people from the exec exactly. Agree.
Yeah, exactly. But lucky enough, like I said earlier, we don't get huge amounts of issues, which is very thankful to the racer. Yeah. And I always say you're better educating someone than just banning someone or just throwing the book at them. I'd rather educate someone. You don't ever want to lose racers. You know, people just make mistakes, and how you deal with them, I think, goes a long way. Sometimes, but as you said, Chris, sometimes you got to throw the book at them too, right? But, you know, there's been instances where we've really looked at stuff and we deal with it differently, and you know, but like I said, our races are as good as gold. So, and considering why I think, you know, well, so now us and Eighth Buggy are, I guess you would say, are the two biggest sections now. We'll get the most entries, and probably
10th entry wise is the biggest.
And we probably get and we see it. We probably get the less grief. So, it's good.
And I do think, you know, a lot of that is down to how it was, how people were socially conditioned previously.
Yep.
With obviously Paul running it, he was a very no-nonsense kind of guy.
100%.
So I think people just got used to not bothering, misbehaving in our section.
Yeah, no, 100%. And, you know, it's good. It's all good. Just need to get Russ to come and do some nationals one day.
Yeah, I might do.
He won't get in there. He's an F4.
I'm not an F4. Dare you?
Are you doing regionals, Russ?
I'll see. It sounds really bad, but I'd like to do one. So also, I'd like to do. I'd like to get Bruce to do one so he can do the end of season thing with the kids.
Okay.
Not with the kids, sorry. No, the end of season at
juniors and
vets. Telford.
At Telford, because it's local, and obviously there'd be a big spread of people there. So
yeah.
You know, but yeah, but I fell out of love a bit with 10th, mate, and we're just running. 8th is where we are, where our heads are at the moment. You know, so we're having the best time.
We
stayed outside all winter, both of us. You know, we raced twice a month outside, rain or shine, this winter with the 8th car. So, yeah, we're having a laugh.
Yeah, it's good. And I don't blame the 8th. I think I read something for, I think it was Mr. Skidmore Sr. said, they were talking about e-buggies, about, you know, how it's going to take over from Nitro. And he made a comment about, you know, with the Nitro, there's strategy and there's this and there's that. And I read it and I thought, you know what? He's right. And he made it sound like that is just absolutely awesome. The only thing that kills me with Nitro is you could be winning that race, a stone hits that little flywheel and the engine stops and it's game over.
Well, yeah, only if you're driving like a pussy. But yeah, you know, if it's flat out, it's fine. But yeah, but no, I did a 10, I did a 10-minute run on my engine at Brookthorpe a couple of, last weekend, first time ever. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I was absolutely panicking as 9.5 minutes. I'm like, oh God, this is going to run out. I did it. So yeah, we did it. So that was quite fun.
I remember pitting for Paul Crompton at a Neo Buggy. I think it was the last Neo they did, the actual proper Neo Buggy before it came the whatever it became. And he'd bumped up for two finals, and then the third final, he was convinced he could go 10 minutes on the tank. And me and Dom Nunn were pitting for him. We're like, you can't. And he tried it and he cut out the other side of the track.
Yeah.
And we just looked at him, went, told you so, and just walked off.
Left the car there.
Said, not yet. Sod him. Not helping. I don't know.
The nice thing is, at least you waited for him to run out of fuel before you left the pit lane, didn't you?
Exactly.
We just people don't do that all the time, do they, Russ?
No, they don't. They don't, but that's all right because they never listen, lads. So yeah, but anyway, yeah, we just ticked over an hour. So Mars, have you got anything? I know you've been in a million times and we always ask you this, but it's just for the crack. Have you got anything for the Hall of Fame?
Oh, the Hall of Fame. Do you know what? I do have something for the Hall of Fame. It's a bit of a strange one, but I want to put John Cockill in the Hall of Fame because you know what? That guy has refereed for the last 10 years, stood in all sorts of horrible weather. Tried to retire twice.
Yeah.
I pulled him out of that. And this last couple of years, he's taken on doing the entries. He's taken on dealing with all sorts. So I just want to put him in there because he's done awesome. I know, like, a lot of people don't like a ref, and he's not everyone's cup of tea because he'll tell you how it is. And there's times even I see him say stuff, and I think, oh Jesus, this is going to be an email in the morning. But the thing I like with John, if he gets something wrong and he thinks about it, he'll come and tell you he got it wrong. There ain't many people like that.
Yeah.
So there, that's my Hall of Fame.
I'm going to wholeheartedly agree with you on the on the hope that if I do have to go to him with any issues this year, it makes my job easier.
Yes.
So
yeah, exactly.
I'm hoping to flatter him, and then it makes my job a little bit easier.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Do you want and obviously he deserves to be in there because he has to deal with Joey.
Yeah, but then again, he actually gave us Joey.
Yeah, I know. Do you ever meet Joey's brother Dan, though? He was fast.
I've heard very nice things about him. I've heard almost as many nice things about him as I've heard bad things about Joey.
Well, I met him at Joey's wedding, and I'm convinced that either Joey's adopted or Dan's adopted. Put it that way.
Well, it's got to be Dan's adopted, because if you adopted Joey, you'd send him back.
Would, yes.
It didn't work I get the sentiment, but it didn't work like that.
I'd be like, yeah, this one's defective. Can you have it back?
Dear. Anyway.
Chris, do you want to thank the sponsors?
After I've just called Joey adopted.
Before we get cancelled, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So a massive thank you to CML Distribution, RC House, Schumacher Racing, and Will Speed.
Nice, and also thank you to the listeners. Guys, thanks very much for getting involved with our Car Crash for podcast. Don't forget to like and share to beam your chance of a prize at Christmas. Don't forget to remind Aidan that he's due back on the Extra Lap podcast if you see him. And that's it. Martin, thanks for coming on. You've been absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
I will see you tomorrow or on the internet or sometime soon. You know it works. I'll be around. Safe. Gentlemen, all say goodbye. See you later.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.